Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey everyone, today I'm joined with Maureen Northcutt. She is a friend of mine now, whether she wants to be or not, because guess what? This is her second time on my podcast. I had her on episode 222 back on May 27th. Guys, you guys loved her story so much about the haunted house that she and her parents had moved into when she was barely 12. And I said, let's have you back for some more spooky stories around Halloween and spooky season. So Maureen, welcome back to the show.
I'm so happy to be back, Leslie, and I'm so proud of myself to be accounted as a friend. That's awesome.
Well, you are a friend because now we text each other. We're like, what are you doing?
It's true. And I also, like, you know, low-key stalk you on TikTok.
Because so. You're like, what do you do? Do you do decorating? Are you a podcaster? Do you write books? What in the hell do you do? And I do it all. So God bless you for that. So what I wanted to talk about, because, you know, we didn't get to all the stories, and the last that we left off on the episode back on May 27th, and guys, if you haven't heard the episode, go back to that one if you would like a backstory and a more in-depth story about when she moved into the house, she and her parents. But that was on May 27th, episode again, 222. The last thing that we said was your parents moved out. And, well, your mother unfortunately had passed away in 2018. Your dad sold the house 2 years later in 2020. Didn't tell anybody that the house was haunted because he wasn't liable for that. What do you think about that part?
Yeah, I do from time to time, I will look on Zillow to see if the house is back up for sale.
Yeah.
And they still are in there. He hasn't heard, you know, like his realtor never reached back out to him about anything. Okay. He's never heard anything. Like he has contact information with the people who purchased the house just to go through, you know, the normal rigmarole that you go through in selling a home.
Right.
But he's never heard from them. They've never reached out. As far as I can tell online, they're still living there. So, and I kind of hope, my dad had told me that they had two young kids. So
Oh, yeah. I
kind of hope against hope that either they're not as sensitive or that things have just calmed down enough that they're not really getting bothered like we were getting bothered.
Right.
But I also believe it's tied to the land and not the house. So I can't really, really hoping for the best that they're not getting any hauntings.
You know, yeah. And the thing was, because the entire neighborhood, as far as we know, I don't know how bad it was for them. You don't really know either, but you do know they were having experiences. And we do think there was some kind of like evil entity, like ancient evil entity, possibly that was there way before the Native Americans, way before you guys had your neighborhood there. And guys, if you haven't heard, like I said, if you haven't heard the episode, go back. But what she talked about, she was the oldest of her siblings. Why don't you go ahead and tell the story about you moving into the basement? Give us a quick synopsis of that, and then we'll keep going.
Sure. So I have two younger brothers. I'm the oldest of three.
Okay.
I was just about to turn 12 when we moved into this house. It's a three-story house with a walkout basement. There was a bedroom, bathroom, and playroom in the basement.
Okay.
And I chose that room when we moved in. And within like 1 to 2 months, I started experiencing stuff down there. And it took about a year to a year and a half before everybody else started experiencing stuff in the house. But yeah, and it was, you know, many stories. It was
yes. Crazy. I mean, and the thing is, it's so weird because I had another person on my podcast say the same thing. She saw a little boy in a sailor's outfit. And I guess that was all the rage back in the 1800s, early 1900s, because that's exactly what you saw in your room, right?
It is. Yeah. Somebody had DM'd me when I had mentioned my story about this boy. And I actually, on my TikTok, like I tried to draw a picture of what he looked like and someone had DM'd me and said, oh, I have a degree in historical costuming or whatever. And they were like, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, when pictures really started to like come to fruition of people taking pictures of their kids, this was a very traditional kind of middle class fad to have your sons dressed up as little sailors in like little white and blue uniforms. And then the girls dressed up in like really frilly scalloped all white smocks.
Okay. Sounds right. Yeah. Because she saw the exact same thing. Unfortunately, when your mother had passed away, and I'm so sorry about that, but when your mother passed away, your dad kind of thought maybe she took some of those little house guests you had, because you had more than one, with her. Do you think that's true?
I do. Thanks for the condolences. Yeah, I think, you know, my dad had said the house got very quiet after she passed. And I no longer lived there after she passed away. But, you know, I tend to believe him. I think she was in at-home hospice at the house for only like 72 hours before she passed. Okay. And I do feel like if she had the opportunity to help anybody get to wherever they actually need to go so they're not stuck, you know, I think she did. I don't, you know, the ancient entity, I don't think she'd even, that thing's not going anywhere. It's like an elemental.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
She was touched, which I can tell you several stories. There was an older woman who one of my brothers saw and definitely touched my mom a bunch. And so I think her and the little boy showed himself to everybody.
Oh,
like, you didn't tell me that.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Because I was going to ask you about the stories about your mom, because your mom, you know, when the medium came to your house, and guys, the medium approached Maureen before Maureen even went to anyone. She said, I need to talk to you about your house. And she's like, really good, because I need to talk to you about my house. Okay. So, but the fact that she came to you first, yeah, it's so wild. Well, and your mom was like, I don't know why, but I always felt like I was being chased. And the medium said, oh yeah, that's because you were. So tell me some of those stories. Do you have those about your mom?
I do. Yeah. So my mom had a really hard time believing me when I said the house was haunted. I was the first person to be like, the house is haunted. I'm experiencing this stuff. I'm terrified. Yeah. You know, my dad was a little bit quicker to accept it. And also my dad, I think my dad was like maybe the second or third person to experience stuff.
Oh, okay.
My youngest brother had experiences pretty early on too. And he was only three at the time. So, you know, how is he going to communicate?
Articulate, right.
But my mom had a really hard time. And there was one morning I came downstairs to get ready for school. And my mom was like, I need you to sit down at the table. I need to tell you something. And I like... My head immediately went to, my parents are getting a divorce.
Right,
I was like 13 or 14.
Yeah.
I was like, well, this is how we're having this conversation, I guess. But instead she said, I am so sorry I haven't believed you about the house being haunted. And I was like, what happened? And she said that she had insomnia, and she did the insomnia trick where you move from your bed. So you go and try to lay down somewhere else. And usually that kind of snaps your brain out of it.
Okay.
And she had gone down to the main floor in the family room, and she had laid down on a couch facing the basement door.
Mm.
And while she was trying to fall asleep, she heard the basement door open. And she looked, and normally it's locked at night, and it opened, and she didn't see anybody coming towards her, but she said she felt she could, like, the presence was so strong, she could trace its movement through the room with her eyes.
Oh my God.
And it came, and it walked between the couch, the coffee table, and the TV up to her head where she was laying down. And she said she was just kind of looking up, not seeing anything, but being like, something is standing over me. And it tucked her hair behind her ear.
What?
And she said she felt like she flew across the room.
Yeah.
Like her feet didn't even touch the floor. And she was all of a sudden like in the kitchen looking back like, what was that? Didn't have a feeling anymore that there was an entity there. Checked to make sure she wasn't like half awake. Her hair was definitely tucked behind her ear. And the basement door was open. So she slammed the basement door, locked it, and tore her ass upstairs.
Yeah,
basically.
I mean, well, you know, and that to me, that sounds kind of gentle. Like maybe that older woman did that for her, do you think?
Yeah. You know, I think every time my mom got touched, it was actually this older woman that felt a sort of caretaking responsibility for my mom.
Okay. You know, and as we talked about ghosts, because I think there's so many different kinds of ghosts, and these ghosts, I think maybe some can be residual and they just kind of go through their day and it's just a recording. And some have that cognitive situation with you where they interact. But I also think they are just merely visiting ghosts. They're not people that are like, oh, well, we're in our time, you're in your time. I think there are so many different kinds of ghosts. And it sounds like maybe she loved the land, or maybe she loved your house, because your house was it older?
I mean, it was built in 1979.
Okay. Yeah, it wasn't
so, not that old. When we had looked at historical records, which the medium told us to do, we found out that, like, basically on the land our subdivision was built was a roadway to this huge former ranch. So it was like kind of the passageway from actual Denver proper down to this pretty large cattle ranch. So a lot of commerce went on that roadway and a lot of like traffic for migrant farmers and ranchers. And so she said that's one of the reasons the land was so active. And she had actually said when she came that this woman, this older woman who like doted on my mom, had like an outpost basically along this route that was like a dry goods store slash, you know, like post office stop.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
And she said that the old woman and the boy were like not in physical life linked, but that they were kind of joined in like the veil that they existed in.
Yeah.
So they were kind of a duo.
And did you say the young boy looked kind of sickly?
He looked so sick. I never realized, I was so much older when I realized how sick he looked, because my youngest brother was about 7 and he got a terrible bout of pneumonia and strep.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I remember sitting, we were like sitting at dinner and he just looked, my brother looked so sick. And it dawned on me because I was like, oh, his eyes are so dark. His skin just looks so pale and like there's no color to it. And then I was like, oh my gosh. That little boy I see all the time, that's what he looks like.
Okay.
He looks like that. He looks really sick.
Yeah. And you know, that's the thing. I mean, it's just, and you wonder what keeps them there, why they're there, the whole thing. And he could, like I said, sometimes I think spirits just go back to the places that maybe they just last remember on Earth. I don't know if they actually get stuck. I don't know if that's a thing, but maybe it is. Like I said, anything's possible. So what are your thoughts on it? Do you think they just come back and visit?
I don't actually. So I kind of have this belief that everything that is alive is part of this kind of primordial energy soup.
Yeah.
And so when we die, our essence basically goes back into this soup. And I do think there's residual hauntings where like part of our energy just infiltrated into the land so much that it just, it didn't go back all the way into the soup. So it just kind of floats around and replays itself.
Sure.
It's just the energy replaying. And then things like this, where it's like the little boy or the woman, I personally believe that their essence did not go all the way back to the soup for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So it could be that like part of them went back into the soup, but part of them decided to stay for whatever reason, or, you know, who knows?
Yeah, because I get what you're saying, because I, like I said, anything's possible. And I do think we have a higher self on the other side, whether everyone believes that or not. I don't expect anyone to believe what I'm saying, but I do think that there's a sliver of our souls here experiencing Leslie and Maureen's lives. Right. But if there's trauma involved, if there's whatever there is involved, that sliver of me could stay here either residually or in essence, like you just said, and gain a consciousness.
Yeah. And I do think, you know, there's also a theory that I kind of subscribe to, that if you die suddenly, you don't know you're dead. Like you kind of, it's a part of the string theory where you just continue on a string and you don't realize that you've passed away, which I suppose could happen with, you know, like a younger kid who's sick and maybe dies in their sleep because they can't breathe.
Right. And it makes sense because you don't know. And how would they know anything about death? They just got here.
Yeah. So, you know, like so many possibilities. I think the one thing I really have trouble believing is that I don't really believe we have a destination. I think that's a very linear human way of thinking.
Sure.
And so I have trouble believing that there's like a light that they go towards and that's the next destination. And they just didn't do that. They just got to go that way. You know, I think maybe it's a little bit more liquid and convoluted than that, but I hope it is anyway, because I really also hope, like, you know, nobody's, especially like a little kid, isn't like stuck here not knowing what's going on. That would be terrible.
Yeah. And as many near-death experiencers as I've interviewed, they all say the same. The other side is more real than here. They did not want to come back. I don't care if they just had a new baby. They just got married. And that religion has no place, you know, on the other side. That's not even a thing. So, and they all say the exact same thing. So who the heck knows, Maureen? We don't know. We don't know.
That's actually so funny. We don't have to go too far down this rabbit hole, but my mom had a very good friend who died on the operating table and they brought her back.
Yeah.
And she was furious.
She did not want to come back.
She didn't want to come back. She was so mad.
I know.
When she woke up and realized they brought her back, she was like, why?
I know. Well, like, that's the thing. They don't want to come back.
Young kids. And she was like, and?
I know.
Why did
you know, it's because I've asked them, I said, well, what made you okay with being gone? They're like, you don't understand. The other side, that's our reality. This is just a really bad camping trip. I mean, I don't know. But back to your stories. So when you were in that basement, I know one time, and you talked about this on the first episode we had, where you were so frightened and you thought, if I play loud music, maybe that'll keep me safe and keep all the lights on. And you were so afraid, and you finally, after however many hours, finally fell asleep because you were so afraid of this entity that was just scaring the total hell out of you. And you said that your dad did not hear that blazing music until he opened that basement door. So tell me what was going on down there, and how the heck do you think your dad didn't hear that?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the night that kind of was the impetus of me not staying in the basement anymore. Right. Because, you know, my dad had an acquaintance who had a teenage daughter who had actually been attacked in their walkout basement by real people.
Yes.
And I think that's part of what woke my dad up. Okay. And he just was like, I need to go check on her.
Yeah.
But he should have, you know, it was the 90s.
Yeah.
I had a boom box, like one of those big stereos that, you know, was 2 feet tall. It was huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he should have, the noise from it should have woken my parents up, even though they were two stories above me.
Yeah.
And he didn't hear anything. He said it was like walking almost through like a wall of, like hearing maybe muffled, like he heard something. Thought maybe I had music on, and then it was just like he walked past a point and he was flooded with the noise from my boombox.
Oh my.
And then realized all the lights were on in my room and I had locked all the doors and he couldn't get in, and he of course was knocking, but I couldn't hear him because the boombox was up as loud as I could manage it to go without my own ears bleeding. And he finally broke, he didn't break the doors down, but he, you know, jimmied them open basically. And then came and woke me up and was like, get up. You're spending, like, there was only like, you know, like an hour or so left in the night of like sleeping. He was like, get up. You're going upstairs.
Right.
We're done.
Yeah.
I don't want you down here.
But then you had, I think, another really scary story that you told on last podcast on the left. Once you were even upstairs, didn't you go to the kitchen for something?
When I went upstairs the next night, I was staying in my youngest brother's room.
Okay.
I left the door open because I was so freaked out from the night before.
Right.
But I, in my head, I was only 12 or 13 at this point. I thought, if I can see my parents' room at the end of the hallway, which is also where the top of the stairs are,
okay,
then I'm safe, basically.
Right.
which was foolish. And I've, since that night, I have never spent a single night with a door open.
Oh, are you serious?
Like in 30 years.
Oh my.
Never again. And every door has to be closed. Like I have a closet door and a bathroom door in my bedroom. Every door must be closed.
Well, the trauma alone, I can only imagine, because especially when you're a kid and it's just burned in your soul now.
Oh yeah. Oh. Well, so I can't remember if I was sleeping or not, but I heard ruckus in the basement. I heard heavy footsteps that sounded like someone had run up the basement stairs, kicked open the basement door. Like I heard it slam open, heard them running on the main floor, on the wood floors, down the hallway to the base of the steps, up to the top floor where we were all sleeping.
Oh.
And it sounded like somebody literally took the steps two by two up to the top landing and then stopped.
Oh.
And I turned over to look, and where I was sleeping against the wall, like across from the door. So I had a straight shot down the hallway to the top of the stairs in my parents' room. And I saw a humanoid figure that was black.
Oh my God.
I couldn't make out hair. He had no face.
Oh.
No, like didn't even really look like clothes, but he was on all fours. His hands were on the top landing of the stairs and his haunches were up, like his legs were kind of like he had gone up the stairs on all fours.
Oh my. Now, this is the evil entity that you think is around the land. First of all, what do you think it is and what do you think caused it?
So actually, this entity, the medium said, was actually a horrible human in life that she said most women didn't survive an encounter with him.
Oh, that was him. Okay. Him, yeah. Well, we'll have to tell his story now, too.
Yeah. So she actually helped us get rid of this guy because he terrorized our family and like people who stayed over there for years and years and years. But I stared at this thing for like probably just a heartbeat or two, but it felt like forever. And then he took off down the hallway on all fours, on his hands and feet towards the door. And all I had to do was swing my legs out of bed and slam the door shut. But I, of course, did that and screamed bloody murder.
Yeah.
Which woke everybody up in the house. And, you know, my dad went and looked. The basement door was shut and locked. Nobody had broken in. Nobody had gone up anywhere. And I was like beside myself. I can only think of one other time I have ever been that scared. And that was I was actually in, you know, like real physical danger.
Oh, really?
I've never been so scared. And really, like I said, like there's only been one other time where I was as scared for my life as I was that night. And I was like inconsolable. I was like a babbling mess.
Well, and the thing is, it almost made a liar out of you because it came up from the basement and the door just slammed open. And then they go look and the door is shut and locked.
shut and locked. And that happened a lot in the house. There was, you know, my mom especially, my mom would hear stuff. Mm. She would hear her, you know, once she got touched, my mom was like fair game. So, you know, like she'd hear people coming up from the basement all the time, especially leading up to when we found out she was sick the first time. She just got harassed, really. I mean, she'd hear their bedroom door open. She'd look, it's not open.
Wow.
She'd hear like knocking and scratching on the wall leading up. You know, the stairs were on the other side of their bedroom wall. She'd hear knocking and scratching on the wall.
Mm.
It was a wild place to be, especially after dark. Stuff
yeah.
happened during the day too, but after dark, it was a wild, it was just a wild place to
be. I can only imagine when she came to you and said, listen, I'm so sorry. Because now it's happening to me. And you're like, okay, thank God. Somebody's not thinking I'm crazy. And they're not going to put me in some kind of loony bin where I'm going to have to stay the rest of my life because I'm getting terrorized.
She was convinced, you know, like she was a pediatric physician's assistant.
Oh,
she was convinced I had early onset schizophrenia.
You are kidding me.
No. So she had me tested up, down, left, right. And, you know, like all these other doctors were like, she's not... She's fine. She's normal. And my mom was like, well, she's saying she hears this and she sees this. And I.
Do you think your mom maybe didn't think about it possibly being haunted because she maybe didn't believe in that, or she was science oriented, or maybe it was a religious thing? What do you think?
I think she's a little bit more science oriented. So I think that was like her brain's immediate thought was like, well, this is a problem that has real world solutions.
Okay, gotcha.
And so we're just going to attack it that way. I think, you know, my mom definitely of the five of us was, I was raised Irish Catholic and she was definitely the most Catholic out of all of us. You know, like my dad basically joined the church so she'd marry him. Which he's even said, he's like, it's fine, whatever. I did it because that was a necessary thing to have happen so I could marry her. But, you know, I don't think it was religious because I think later on when she was getting haunted more often, she didn't have any issue resolving her religious beliefs versus what was happening. I think it all was kind of a fluid thing for her. And I think, you know, specifically because around the times that she was sick is when we had activity really spike in the house.
Really spike.
I think gave her oddly a sense of comfort.
You know, it's funny you say that because it's almost like she had a little one foot out and one foot in kind of thing. And you're right, it could give her comfort. But let me ask you something. Do you think your mom had any kind of abilities? Because we talked about this before. I think we all have some kind of abilities, whether we just feel or sense something or whatever, right? Or we see. And we talked about that. And at such a young age for you, you were almost 12. And we talked about poltergeist activity when a little girl goes through the change and they're at that age and all that. So do you think that had anything to do with it as well? Or do you think it was just, you could just see it, feel it, and they were congregating towards you?
So the medium had said that basically, you know, that four out of five of us were sensitive.
Oh, okay.
Some more than others. So that like the land, she was trying to explain the land is like kind of like a paranormal, like roadway almost. And that our house is like this beacon because it, especially when all five of us were in there at like, you know, nighttime when we're sleeping.
Yeah.
We were like this beacon of like, you know, you'll probably be seen or heard.
They like that.
If you go over here. And so she had kind of said like we had, you know, we had that really bad dude that she finally cleared out of there and we never really had another incident with him. Then we had the old lady and the young boy who many people saw or interacted with. And she was saying that they were kind of just there because they knew we saw them.
Okay.
And so they were kind of drawn to our energy and our interactions. Whereas she said a lot of the other stuff we'd experience would be literally spirits just kind of passing through.
Oh, really? Like a portal.
Like a portal. Like when she was even there, one of the things she said, I had, God, this was so long ago. I was in high school. And it was even a, you know, a handful of years before she had come over. But there was a boy up our street who, when I was in high school, died in a terrible car accident.
Oh.
In another state.
Okay.
And the night that he died, I worked on the same land in the square mile our house was on.
Okay.
I worked at a movie theater. It was like 10 o'clock at night. And I got this overwhelming sense of sadness.
Really?
Like to the point where I was like, I have to go home. I'm going to break into sobbing at any minute. And then come to find out that around like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, he had been basically killed on impact.
Oh my God.
And when the medium was there, she was like, she brought that up I had never told anyone except for my mom when I got home. I said, I'm so overwhelmed with sadness and I don't know why.
Yeah.
And then the next day, my mom in the paper was like, this is why, I think. Oh. Wasn't this around the time you said you got sad? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And the medium years later, standing in my bedroom, said that he, like, same thing. Our house was a beacon. And because she's like, the night you knew he died, the night he died. And I was like, I mean, I didn't know it was, I just got really sad. And she goes, yeah, that was him. Cause you were like a beacon of light.
Oh my God. So you have abilities that maybe, do you want them? Are you nurturing them? What are you doing with this?
I'm starting to meditate to bring them back. I feel like over time, you know, I've talked about it on my TikTok too, but like I had a couple friends who have unalived themselves.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They made that choice for themselves. Thank you. And one of them I saw for almost 6 months at the foot of my bed.
What?
And I just, when I'd wake up in the middle of the night and he'd be there and he'd be screaming, but I wasn't hearing any sound and I couldn't, you know, I just like couldn't communicate with him. And I feel like between that and some other incidences, like over time, I feel like I've just kind of like dampened down my receptors.
Yes.
And so I'm trying to meditate to open this back up, because since randomly sharing this story about my house on TikTok and then having it absolutely blow up, a lot of people in other mediums have reached out to me and asked me about it. So I'm trying to see if I can at least open it up a little bit.
Well, no, you know, I think it's a really good thing if you're interested. Now, you have to be interested, and I think you are. I do have some suggestions. I will talk to you after the show if you would like, because I have two trusted people that I have had on my show and are really good friends of mine now, if you are interested. And I'm sure a lot of my listeners know who I'm going to tell you, too, because she's been on the show so many times, but she's amazing. But if you are interested in this kind of endeavor, because there was a reason it totally zoomed in on you. Like at the get-go, you had only been there a couple months and all of a sudden you're the very first person to experience this. And traumatizing as it was, I still can't imagine as an adult having someone that you loved who is no longer with us, who died by their own hands, screaming at you, looking like they're screaming at you at the end of your bed. I'm sure that's so disturbing. But if you could come out of it going, what can I do to help them? That can only help you and your psychic, don't you think?
I think so. I literally, I mean, I would tell him, I'd be like, how can I, you know,
yeah.
I can't understand you. What, like, what do you need from me?
Right.
And I never got an answer. And he wouldn't be there for very long at the end of my bed, you know, like maybe like 10 to 15 seconds. And then he would dissipate.
Okay.
But
I think that means clairvoyance, clairsentient. So maybe you can't hear, but you can see kind of thing. So maybe you can develop that, like work on the things that you don't have as developed, because obviously you can see them.
Yeah. I can definitely see them. I can definitely feel them. I went with my dad since I've kind of started this adventure in May.
Yeah.
Or in April when I did this first TikTok and I really started like meditating about it and opening it. Like,
yeah.
I've gone to a few sites that are known to be haunted or should be haunted. And I've definitely felt more than I've felt in like previous years.
Wow, really? You know. Well, the thing is, and here's my thing, like, I, you know, I can talk to my mom now. She passed in 2017. And the person I'm going to tell you to go to said, you just need to talk to her and practice and do it over and over. And now I can literally have telepathic conversations with her. And how I know I'm talking to her is I try not to say any words in my head. And whatever comes to me is her. And that's how I know it's her, because I didn't make it up. You know, because I try hard not to make those things up. Now our conversations have gotten a lot faster because I know what it is now. I know the difference. But that's the kind of stuff that I did myself that maybe you can work on, because, girl, you've got the gift.
Yeah, it's been you know, I think I totally believe the medium when she was like, one of my brothers never was bothered.
Yeah.
And I totally believe when she was like, oh, yeah, the four of you at least are of different varying degrees of
with abilities. You
know,
yeah.
Sensitive. Mm-hmm. And you know, all these spirits. And she even said like the old entity that was part of the land and had been there literally for at least thousands of years,
wow,
if not longer. She was like, it's drawn just because it's curious. Like,
really?
It can't communicate with you. You can't communicate with it because it's so like ancient, basically, but it understands and is curious that, you know,
yeah,
you guys are here.
Did that actual entity do anything scary to you? What happened with that one?
I think so. So I think she had said that it was just kind of, when she visited the house, she said it was just kind of around, and that it was, it was not small. It didn't make itself small. So like it would fill a room if it decided to, you know, go into a room. It wouldn't be something small like, you know, like an orb or even like the little boy, where it's just like a little thing that you can kind of track through the room. Like it, you'd feel its presence fill the room. Right. And we all repeatedly had incidents of that happening where you just felt this like overwhelming sense of something. And it was, it's so hard to explain because the thing on the stairs was definitely like a violent, aggressive feeling.
Yeah.
Like you felt threatened and scared.
Right.
Whereas what I think was this entity, it was definitely there and it was not a good vibe. It was not a good feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it wasn't an angry feeling or an aggressive feeling. It was just kind of like a real super uneasy feeling that was there. Like I think I just shared a story actually on my TikTok about one time I was doing laundry randomly.
Yeah.
In the basement as an adult. And I just suddenly felt this like wall of this energy just like appear at the entrance to the laundry room. And it didn't come in, but it felt like it was taking up like the whole entrance. And it was just kind of this like uneasy feeling of like, what are you doing?
Wow.
Why? Like just this watching oppressive, like,
yeah.
Where did you come from? Why are you here? And I finally turned around. I was like, I'm allowed to do laundry. Leave me alone.
Well, and I think the medium's right. It knows you can feel it. But also because it's so old, they have gained so much knowledge on how they can scare, how they can intimidate, how they can learn just by your vibe what you want and what you don't want. You know, who knows if it has a sense of humor? Maybe it was like, okay, that was funny. I'm going to leave her alone. I mean,
it was, yeah. And I think there was like, we had for a time, we had a lot of like really hard, well, a time, I mean, many, many years up until my dad sold the house. We'd have these bangs happen in the house that literally shook.
Oh,
wow. It would shake the house.
Okay.
And I think that was that ancient entity. And we also, my parents gutted the basement at one point, which of course made the activity level spike.
Yeah.
And the contractor had an HVAC guy who I want to say was Arapaho Nation.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But he came to do the HVAC stuff and he had walked around the side of the house and the contractor had said that he was kind of like looking around on the land and then came up to the sliding glass door to the basement to work on the HVAC and told the contractor, he's like, I don't like the feeling here. And took one step into the basement and went, nope, I'm not doing this. You have to find somebody else. And he like left.
Oh my God. Yeah. Because guys, if you don't know, they found out with some land deeds or whatever, they were looking up land information. At one point there was a battle, I guess maybe the medium told you this, that there was a battle between the Navajo and the Arapaho and Cherokee or something like that. And it was a battleground. She saw that. And so everything was Native American before we came. So I'm sure that's where, and sometimes they could pick up on it. People that are of the same blood as maybe something that's been there for thousands of years.
Yeah, she had said that the entity came from, she wasn't sure what peoples it were,
okay.
You know, what she was seeing, but that it was like very, very bloody, very violent.
Mm.
And she said the entity kind of like came from that. And it was also very old, like thousands of years before any Caucasian person set eyes on this land that it happened. You know, I just assume like looking at kind of where the native peoples were, as far as we know historically, and they know historically, it was like Arapaho, there was an Arapaho, Navajo, and Ute, I think, in the area.
Okay.
So it was probably one of their earlier sets of peoples, but we didn't have any land proof of it, but you know, I believe that there was an old entity there, I think.
Yeah. Well, an energy has to go somewhere, right? And you have all that bloodshed going on, and it was really bloody and violent and all the things that the medium said. So energy has to become or do something, and it may have just created this, whatever this is, out of that energy, maybe.
Yeah. I think things that happen that are very negative and violent, I do think if it happens at a big enough scale,
yes,
can create and attract either parallel universes or whatever, or energies that are dormant in the area. I feel like it can attract them, and they're not always the most pleasant things that they're attracting.
No, they're not. No. And the thing is, I'm just so interested to know that you saw and felt these things. And regardless if your neighbors did, or even your family members, the fact that you can, and you can maybe, like I said, grow your abilities and help others because you've seen a lot of the things that maybe even psychics don't always see.
Yeah. You know, I think it also would just be nice, especially like being a parent now, I think is one of my other big motivators, because there's already, you know, my daughter is only 2.5 and there's already been a couple things. She said something, I've been like, Oh,
really?
What?
Yeah.
So I feel like I also need to, work on these gifts or senses, because I think maybe she has some of it. And, I want to make sure I'm open enough to understand and help.
Sure. Because it's definitely hereditary. I do know that. It's passed down whether through your dad or your mom or both. I mean, it sounds like your dad may have had a little bit of it too. So you kind of got that double whammy of abilities maybe. So guys, I'm telling you, she's got so many amazing stories on TikTok. And I'm going to add Mo's handle. She goes by Mo, but I call her Maureen. So you wouldn't think, I'd be like, why are you calling this woman Mo? So, but is there anything else you'd like to just tell my listeners about? Anything else, like a takeaway thing?
Thinking about these things, even from a scientific standpoint, There's so much science we don't know.
I agree.
And I think we're really starting to hone science in certain ways with physics.
Yes.
And, exploring space and also like the oceans that also we stumble upon being able to study these energies and stuff. And I think, having an open mind and traveling through this world, thinking about how the things we take for granted every day that science has given us, a person 100 years ago would be screaming in almost abject terror the things we have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going on. So I don't know. I guess that's my takeaway. Is just there's so much we don't know.
You're so right, because they talk about this on quantum physics. They talk about this on Big Bang Theory. I talked about this in another podcast. String theory, different dimensions, different times, the stars in the sky, some of them don't even exist anymore, but we still see them. It's some of the stuff can be explained. Some of it can't be. We don't know all the answers. I think almost anything's possible. And Mo, you just proved that right now. Thank you so much for being on the show. And maybe we'll have you back for more stories.
I love it, Leslie. I'm so happy I got to do this with you again.
Well, I love providing because I want to know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again, and I will see you next week.